Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you missed yesterday's, swing on over there. It's still hanging out for you to check out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, well, of course, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, all right. So, you know, we were a little heavy on one, baseball yesterday, and I wanted to ask something that I was surprised nobody made a little bit more of a deal out of. You know, at the NBA All-Star break, which actually I think ends tonight, I think they're finally going to start playing games again after, I think they were off a month. So, they, of course, Anthony Davis was the popular interview because they wanted to talk to him about, you know, his trade demands. And he went on and he said that all 29 teams were available. He wasn't ruling any team out. But the interesting thing he mentioned, Dan, you know, he's got another year of his contract after this one. What he mentioned was the fact that no matter where he goes, he's planning on testing free agency. So basically what this told me, Dan, is if you're a team that's not the Los Angeles Lakers – and you trade for Anthony Davis, you're only going to have him for 1 year before he runs off and signs with LeBron and the Lakers, because Rich Paul is his agent. He's part of the Clutch Sports group that LeBron owns. So he'll be a Laker after that 1 year. You know, the Pelicans won a lot for this guy. I mean, Dan, they were talking four first-rounders and some players as well. Are you giving that up for a one-year rental? And did Davis just kind of kill any leverage the Pelicans had in the deal?
Don't forget the Cubs gave up a hot prospect and three guys for a guy they knew was going to re-sign with the Yankees. But, no, I think he gave away some leverage for the Pelicans.
So yeah, and you know, and then I mean, are you giving up four first rounders and some players to get a guy you're only going to have for 1 year?
No.
So yeah, because I just found that kind of odd, and I was really surprised that nobody has kind of mentioned this. And obviously, you know, I don't watch the NBA specific shows because I honestly just don't care, but I figured, you know, this might get covered on you know, some of the other, you know, highlight shows and crap like that, or maybe I would read about it online. But yeah, apparently everybody just seems to be letting this slide, and I was just kind of baffled because I was like, man, he just basically, he told you he's only going to play for you for 1 year and then he's leaving. Now, he can't say, you know, of course he can't say, well, you know, I'm going to go sign with the Lakers. But we all know that's what he means. And, yeah, it was just kind of, okay, what the hell?
Well, and
thought it was kind of
goofy. Well, what's funny is what's going to happen next year when they have the trouble trading him. And someone throws out the word collusion.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, because, you know, it was just kind of humorous because obviously, you know, the Lakers know that's where he wants to go, so they didn't want to give up what the Pelicans were asking. You know, which, I mean, which just makes sense. But then, you know, the Lakers start crying that, you know, they're not negotiating in good faith. But that doesn't surprise me because, you know, it's the Lakers and they're going to cry about anything and probably get what they want because they have LeBron James. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, you know, this is incredibly, you know, ridiculous that nobody noticed this. So I was like, really, were you guys not paying attention? So, yeah, that's where I was. I was really happy about that. But I did hear some talk today, Dan. I know, you know, you and I have actually kind of talked about this a little bit. And apparently, not that I know any of this, but apparently LeBron James is somehow still hurt. He's probably going to be recovering from a groin injury for the next, I don't know, 6-8 months. But the Lakers have tumbled now, Dan. They are 10th in the Western Conference, 3 games out of the final playoff spot. And I've already started to heard the pundits, as I will call them, most of them are just morons, start to cover and say that it's not important for LeBron to get the Lakers into the playoffs. Dan, isn't he legit? If he's legitimately the best player in the game, shouldn't he be able to get pretty much any team into the playoffs? And it's a big deal, right? It's not just me.
No, it should be a big deal, but it won't be in the end because he'll be hurt.
You know, obviously I know they're going to blame it on everybody else he plays with. It's, you know, it's not going to be LeBron's fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, well, you know, look at what he's surrounded with. Well, what he's surrounded with is some good young talent that he doesn't want. You know, he wants it all traded. And then, of course, this will be Luke Walton's exit because he couldn't get the Lakers in the playoffs even though he had LeBron James. So, you know, we'll – but, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous. And now I honestly think that the Lakers are going to get into the playoffs because you damn well know the NBA wants a Lakers-Warriors matchup in the first round. So somehow, magically, the Lakers are going to get that eighth spot. Maybe it'll be some, you know, let's call it some suspect refereeing, you know, or anything that kind of goes along those lines. You know, maybe, even though they have a very difficult schedule, I think they have the hardest schedule going down the stretch. They will somehow magically get the eighth spot. Because, you know, the NBA wants that series with them against the Warriors. And don't be surprised if they even manage to beat the Warriors a game or two so the NBA can stretch it out as long as they possibly can. Because, you know, this is the only, you know, real chance they're going to have to showcase this. Because, you know, the Lakers, just as young as they are, they're not that good yet. And, you know, LeBron has killed the team with, you know, getting them to do what he wants them to do. So... but, yeah, it, you know, trust me, it's going to happen. Somehow they're going to find their way into the playoffs.
They have to, if they can get, like, a preview of, you know, what the future is going to come with, i.e. the Lakers the Warriors.
So, yeah, I just thought, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't look like they'll make the playoffs. Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs. They won't deserve to make the playoffs. And, you know, again, like I said, there'll be some shoddy refereeing, and, you know, the NBA will come out and say, oh, well, you know, this was incorrect, but, you know, there's nothing we could do about that now, so we just got to kind of live with it, you know, because that's what they do.
Yeah, well, after 3 weeks of investigating.
Yeah, so... You know, you got to remember the NBA is, you know, the league that, well, actually they had the referees, you know, thing tweeted out when your guy Brad Beal took 5 steps and they actually tweeted out that it wasn't traveling. So I don't understand what, you know, any of the rules are anymore. So, yeah, you know, I don't know why they picked that one to showcase. But let's face it, guys have been traveling for years now. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Well, and they underhand the ball, which they're not supposed to do also.
Yeah, I just kind of chuckle when I hear these things come out. And, I did actually hear today that somebody actually pointed out that the ratings were down. And I love this one, Dan. The reason the NBA ratings are down is because LeBron now plays on the West Coast, so people aren't staying up to watch him. So, yeah, there you go. I thought that was kind of humorous when I heard that one. But, while we're on basketball, I wanted to run this one by you. I don't know if you happened to catch this highlight, but last night, Duke was playing North Carolina. And, Duke is loaded with four freshmen that are probably going to be first-round picks. There was talk that they could have even up to seven guys drafted. So they've really embraced the one-and-done rule. Well, it appears the best guy out of this, good old Dan, is a guy by the name of Zion Williamson, who just looks like an athletic freak. He's about 6'8 and about 280, and he does stuff that you wouldn't think a body that size would be able to do. Well, last night as he was dribbling cross-court towards the free-throw line, he went to make a cut, and his shoe came apart. He actually ended up literally putting his foot right through his shoe. They're wearing the PG 2.5, which is Paul George's shoe. So, that was a little bit interesting. But, of course, the first thing that came out now is, again, we go back to the pundits who know all this stuff. They're saying that Zion Williamson should never play another college game now because, he's going to be one of the top probably two picks in the draft. Because he had a mild knee sprain from his little shoe blowout. And then, so now do you think, if you were him, Dan, would you know, and he's already said that he went to college because he wants to play. Are you sitting out if you're him, or are you going to play?
No, I'm playing.
So,
I don't think the coach is going to let him sit.
Humorously, I got a apparently Paul George actually reached out to Nike with his shoe to try to find out what happened, but nobody's mentioned if he got a reply or anything. So it was just kind of an odd situation. I've actually had that happen with a pair of work boots, and I went tumbling down the stairs at my apartment complex. So that was quite interesting for me, but I've never actually blown out a gym shoe like that.
But neither have I. Maybe he should cut his toenails.
Yeah, maybe, however that kind of works out. But, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. This is different. I haven't seen that one. So, I don't know. But, yeah, it looks more and more like the NBA is going to go back to being able to draft guys straight out of high school. All the reports are that they're going to lower the draft age to 18. So, I guess we'll probably say goodbye to a lot of these, a lot of these one-and-done things now because, the guys like Zion Williamson won't need it. They can go straight to the NBA and, just get their money, and we can watch a lot of them bust out like what happened last time because teams can't help take these guys. So, are you – yeah, I don't know. Do you care at this point what the NBA does?
No, not really. I was going to ask you, do you think that it has anything to do with the fact that, before you said that, they did it to help protect the college game, but over the last couple of years with all the corruption in the NCAA, do you think that's why they pretty much gave up on it, besides the fact that what's the point? You know, everyone knows it's a sham.
Yeah, you know, and I think that may really be the reason they're giving up on it is, you know, like, because at first, obviously, you know, you're able to fool people a little bit. But, you know, we all know, you know, I mean, the majority of people are stupid. Get it that, you know, none of these guys, you know, none of these guys who are going to be drafted or are considered first rounders are going to class. You know, they're in college to play basketball. It's their job. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure the majority of them, especially the really good ones, are siphoned money. You know, like that kid, I believe, was it Arizona or Arizona State where the coach got caught on the wiretap and, you know, the kid was getting money last year that was funneled through, I think it was Nike, you know, and then Louisville had the issue that actually cost Rick Pitino his job where, I don't remember if that was a Nike thing, but it was a shoe company that was kind of making sure that players were getting the extra money that they needed. So, yeah, I don't understand how you and I aren't that stupid, but maybe since the Mickey Mouse Network covers so much basketball, they can't come out and just say it. So, but yeah, you know, yeah, like, you know, like I said, who, you know, I mean, are you buying that? You know, Zion Williamson's going to class. So
no, what does he need to go to class for? He's going to the NBA.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it always reminds me of the whole Derrick Rose thing. I mean, you know, you look at it, and somebody took his SATs for him so he could get into college. You know, they actually got to the NCAA finals with him as a freshman. I believe they lost. And then all of a sudden, you know, Rose is in the NBA while the school is paying for it, and they're on probation and, you know, all the other stuff. And, you know, you have to vacate wins, which, again, means absolutely nothing. But I guess it makes the NCAA feel better. You know, and it's just kind of like, okay, great, he's making millions of dollars and the school can't play in the tournament because, you know, they did whatever with him. It's like, just, you know, just stop it. You know, I mean, no, I... Why believe it? So, you know, I mean, we had that guard come out from Carolina a few years back and actually admit that they were given grades and nothing happened. They swept it all under the rug. You know, I mean, here's the guy admitting that, you know, this was all, you know, this is how it was done. And, you know, this is how big time college sports is run. And nobody cared. So why should we? You know, I mean, it's basically the minor leagues of basketball and football because, you know, well, now the football has the alliance, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which ran out of money in the first week.
Yeah. Yeah, they made it 2 weeks before they're out of money. So... You know, just kind of, you know, they had to get the Carolina Hurricanes owner to invest a bunch of money. So,
you know, which hopefully for him is a good investment, but the fact that you're running out that quick is kind of ridiculous. Or the fact that I think they went too big.
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe they thought they were going to – I don't know, honestly, I have no idea what they thought, but, you know, obviously they were wrong, so. So. But, I don't know, maybe the NFL will step in and help them out, right?
How?
Oh, I don't know. They'll, you know, they can give them some money, right? So, is there money? Is there, you know, the NFL's got plenty of money to give them, right? So.
Yeah. Oh, well, and the fact that we don't know what Kaepernick settled for. You know, they probably have
right.
enough.
So,
you know,
they, which, I'm sure they
you know, we haven't been able to talk about, but I mean, the fact that he settled, it's undisclosed. He turned down, or not turned down, but he was expecting $20 million from the AAF. I thought this was about, like, some kind of political stance, not about money.
Well, you know, Nike did just release a commemorative Colin Kaepernick jersey for that sold out, $150 a jersey that sold out in 10 hours. So,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
what pretty much equaling out to
depending
is,
on how many, depending on how many you print, you know.
No.
But I mean,
you know, well,
you know, doesn't it kind of lose the point of what he was doing? Do we even know what he was doing anymore?
Well, he was
in the end, it's about the money.
He was protesting police brutality against African Americans. So, you know, you know the deal, Dan. Cash pulls everything around me. I mean, that's how it works. So, the rumors were, he settled $70 million. I don't know what Eric Reed's cut is because Cash is really the focus on it. So, but, at least Eric Reed is still playing in the or, Kaepernick has a chance to play. But, I don't know. You think now that he's settled, he can take a look at him? Maybe somebody brings him in?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's been out of the game for too long. I think he can do a combine again or really do some workouts because I don't think, he was still a decent quarterback, but, what has he played in, like, 3 or 4 years now?
Obviously I still think it's perfect for the XFL. That seems like it's something right up a Vince McMahon out, bring this guy in and, let him run, and that's how you get your attention because the media is going to be all over it. Because obviously it's going to be their talent. I honestly don't think he would succeed well if he was given the opportunity. So.
No, nobody's waiting for why he even needs to play football anymore. He could easily turn to Hollywood.
So, I don't know. He could go back to baseball, right? Do the Cubs still own his rights? Were the Cubs the ones who had his rights?
I don't know. He can go play with Timo. But, he wouldn't. That would be too... that would be beneath him because it wouldn't pay enough money. As liberal as Hollywood is, I don't see why he just doesn't try to turn up an acting career.
No, maybe he doesn't have any talent.
You don't need talent.
You actually need
Have you seen a Vin Diesel movie?
Yeah, but I like the Batman. Oh, sorry. I had to pick one that was way out there for you, because I couldn't just settle for one of the obvious. So, why you don't like? You don't think Vin Diesel's talented? You didn't like Triple X? The return of Triple X 3 or whatever it was, the return of Xander Cage?
Was an Ice Cube in XXX?
You know, well, whatever you want to look at it as, because, you know, Ice-T was, you know, the second Triple X. Or Ice Cube, not Ice-T.
Yeah.
That would have been a whole movie then. So.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it would have been.
You know. But Ice Cube does appear in the Return of Xander Cage. I don't know if you've seen that one. So.
No, I've never seen any. I think the only thing I've seen is Pitch Black, but I digress. I think we're moving along too far. You can tell nothing. You know, Bryce Harper hasn't signed, obviously.
Yes, obviously. But Manny Machado's deal is official, Dan. He's officially a Padre. So there you go.
Yay!
You know. So we have that going for us. So we can see.
Hey.
While we are here, Dan, I have the 13 most intriguing players in spring training. So I want to run these guys by you and see if you find them intriguing. And they do start with Manny Machado. And it's odd that he's suddenly the face of the franchise, because obviously he was the face of the franchise in Baltimore. But you know, they're saying, well, do you expect him to be able to handle the extra pressure? You know, he'll be the guy getting interviews and be a role model for the young players. Are you buying Machado as that guy?
No. Not one bit.
No. So you're a Machado hater, aren't you?
Kind of.
I better cancel the order you
see. Yeah, well, I mean, if you ordered it, they had to pull them first. I don't know if you saw that whole drama. They pulled them all out of the team stores.
Oh,
because they wasn't official.
Just poor. Now they got to run and put them all back in. All right,
yeah.
The second guy on the stand who's intriguing. I actually, of course, believe this one. Eloy Jimenez. He is the crown jewel of what is called a terrific farm system. Obviously, you know, we know he was a Cub for a while here. You buy an Eloy, and how long before the White Sox call him up? Because that's going to piss me off sooner rather than later.
Oh, no, I'm buying him. But, you know, he's not coming up until that clock starts. It's done ticking.
Is he, when we make predictions, is he a rookie of the year? That's what I know.
I'll probably go with him. What the hell?
Yeah. All right. We move along here, and they go with Martin, who's really the best outfielder we have, either starting center fielder. You know, he's recovering from that life-threatening, turned out to be a bacterial infection. And the question here, Dan, is can he contribute to a winning team? Because obviously I think we all believe the Indians are going to easily win the Central. Anyway, he's a former Cub as well. Can he be a key component?
I think so. He'll do well. From a team that's going to be handed the division.
Yeah. At least for the next probably couple years. So,
yeah.
All right, we jump along here, and it's we haven't talked about this guy in a couple weeks. Here's Troy Tulowitzki. I'm incredibly curious about when they were writing this, because they plant all the negatives here. He's 34. He played in 66 games over the last 2 years, and they're thinking that he's an everyday player. I don't know why people continue to buy him as this everyday guy for the Yankees, but are you intrigued by Tulo, since that's the tagline to the article? Does his season and year intrigue you?
Well, you know, maybe the Yankees will go the opposite way with him, seeing as they have a pretty solid pitching staff that I think can go longer than 5 innings. But, you know, Tulo might get one, maybe two at-bats a game.
I'll be surprised if he plays 100 games. I don't know why everybody's all of a sudden, he's the everyday guy. Man, they just don't want to let that go.
Well, no, I think he'll be an everyday guy. But like I said, he's not going to log the innings, though.
All right, now we move along to Josh Donaldson. You know, he got the big one-year deal from the Atlanta Braves. But, he one point in time he was an MVP, and I don't think he's been healthy since then. Is it more than he has to prove he can stay healthy, or does he have to stay healthy and put up numbers?
Well, I mean, you can't have A without B, right? So,
well, no,
I think
stay healthy himself. So,
yeah.
You
can't put up the numbers. Yeah, but you can't put up the numbers if you're not healthy.
Just one of those fun things.
You know, how many, well, I guess, you know, I'd ask you, how many 15-day trips do you think you're going to get?
I don't know. I haven't, I got to wait. Obviously, we'll have to see him a little bit to see what he kind of looks like. But, I'm not sure. I mean, he didn't look great with Cleveland at the end of the season. He was supposed to be healthy. So I guess you got to wonder if a whole offseason, got him back together, so to speak. He's starting to think he's Humpty Dumpty here. Maybe did they put him back together the right way?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's rough. Intriguing, I think, is
see,
much
intrigued.
Higher than the word interest. I'm not really intrigued because, between him and Josh Donaldson, I think if any team, they should have signed both of them.
Well, he is Josh Donaldson. Did you mean Tulowitzki?
Tulowitzki. Yeah, Tulowitzki.
Okay. That would have been funny.
Once the first one gets hurt, then you play the second one.
Right. What do you do when the second one gets hurt and the first one's not ready to come back?
We better hope we have some options.
All right, we'll move along here. The next guy on the list is Ryan Brazier. He spent 2017 in Japan and came back to pitch for Boston last year. 34 games, he was really good. It looks like he may be the guy counted on to replace Craig Kimbrell. I don't know much about this guy. I honestly don't remember seeing him pitch last year, but I'm sure I did. Are you intrigued at all by Brazier and what the Red Sox bullpen could be?
Yeah, this one's probably a little bit more intriguing, but like you, I don't remember much of him. It's not even a name I really remember in the World Series.
I didn't either. That's what I was trying to think about it, and I was like, how did I not remember this guy? They won the World Series, and I don't remember this guy at all. All I can think about is Nathan Eovaldi, which is strange. So,
yeah, look at the back of your shirt. Maybe he's on there.
Maybe. Where's my shirt? Oh, no, it's dark in here. So, all right, well, we move along here. This one kind of intrigues me because it's Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals. Rolling into his 14th season, you got to kind of figure this is the end for him. He's 37 or 38 now. He's had a lot of injuries, but, they look like they're going to be a good team, probably going to be a contender. Does he intrigue you as a player here? You think he has that kind of one ta-da year on his way out the door?
I wouldn't say intriguing. I just figure it's another guy that's going to make the rounds. I think he'll do his job.
All right. Well, they have – I know nothing about this guy, so I'm just going to give you his name. They have Jesus – I'm going to guess this is Luzardo. He's a left-handed pitcher for the A's. He jumped from Class A to Class Triple A, but I honestly don't think he's going to be in the majors, so I'm going to skip him. And we're going to go to Evan Longoria. Now, we've heard, you know, all about the, you know, the Giants trying to move his contract. He's got a lot of money on it. You know, he had a rough year. He had that broken hand, didn't really help him out. Are you intrigued by a bounce back Longoria, or would they have been better off putting Buster Posey in this article?
No, I'm a little bit more intrigued. Giants always have that. They're one of the teams I, you know, watch and root for, so to speak. And, you know, I thought this trade might have been, and it did. So, you know, kind of like the Cubs, you're hoping with Yu Darvish, you're hoping that Longoria bounces back.
Yes, I will root for him and see how it goes. They threw another minor league in here, Dan. We can look for Joe Adell, who is an Angels outfielder. He's all of 19 years old. I don't know why he's intriguing, because we're not going to see him in the major leagues. It looks like he's going to play in Double A, but I guess if you pitch 13 guys, you got to fill 13 guys, so you get there how you get there. All right, our next actual major leaguer that we'll get to see, of course, is very intriguing because it's Felix Hernandez entering his 15th year with the Mariners. You know, as a fantasy owner, he's had a rough couple of years. Are we going to see if Felix going to bounce back? He's going to return to being the king?
I sure as hell hope so. But I don't think I'll be drafting him this year.
Yeah, sadly, I don't think I'm going to be drafting any Mariners this year. Well, maybe a couple offensive guys, but yeah, they're it's going to be a long, long, long year for me. So
yeah, it's a good thing you don't have to stay up and watch the game. I got to take my break, so you might want to hold off on it for a second.
I only got two guys left. What am I going to do while you're gone? So, all right. Well, I guess I could wander on about the Mariners, because I just don't know what the heck they're going to do and who they're going to keep. And I'm still quite baffled on why Edwin Encarnacion and Jay Bruce are still on this team. I don't know, you know, what they're doing here. I guess, of course, it takes two to tango, so you do need a trade partner, which they'll, you know, have to hunt down sooner or later. And I think I believe they have Anthony Swarzak and floating around in that bullpen as well. And he's been kind of a wanted setup guy. You know, he broke out a little bit with the White Sox a couple years ago, made him pretty popular. Didn't do as well when he was a Met there last year, but you know, maybe he'll, bounce back in the Mariners. Maybe he can show enough to, bring back a prospect, you know, here or there. Maybe they can get somebody who can help him out down the road. They do say here he is dealing with some shoulder discomfort, and it's unknown if he will be able to make that opening series against the A's in Japan. But, yeah, here you look at it. Combined in 2017, he pitched for the White Sox and the Brewers 70 games. He was 6-4 with an ERA at 2.33. You know, last year the Mets locked him up. They wanted him to be the main setup guy. He only pitched in 29 games because he got hurt. He did record 4 saves, but he was 0-2 with a 6.15 ERA. So obviously, you know, they're going to want him to bounce back more to, the form he had with the White Sox. But when you look at it, I mean, really the only other quality year he had was back in 2013 when he was with the Twins. So I don't know where, you know, they're going to find, you know, what they think they found here. But, you know, I do know some guys figure it out. He is 33 now, so if you're going to figure it out, he might as well figure it out now. we'll kind of have to see how it works out. But, I don't know, you know, again, like I said, I'm not sure how long he'll be in Seattle. Jay Bruce falls right into that category as well. You know, I'm surprised he's still there. We're looking at another guy coming off injury. I mean, he only played 94 games last year, and he was terrible, 223 with just 9 home runs. Here's a guy who's been, you know, a big-time home run hitter and couldn't, you know, it just seemed that, you know, two out of the 3 years he was with the Mets, well, they did trade him the 1 year, but, you know, he was injured. So he he did play, that's true. He did play 97 games with the Reds before he went to the Mets. And then, you know, but yeah, you know, 94 games last year, that's, you know, again, like I said, just terrible, you know, terrible numbers. And then, you know, and Encarnacion, again, another guy I'm not sure what we're going to see or what we're going to get or how long he's going to be hanging out there. I don't assume, like, Felix is a trade target. But, you know, Encarnacion did hit 30 homers. He's actually hit 32 or more and driven in at least 98 runs in the last, what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons? Yeah, so, I mean, you're getting a quality run producer. The average did drop to 246 last year. So, you know, you'd like to see him back up more to his career of 264. If he could get back to that number, you know, that could be possible. But I do wonder in this, you know, now homer-happy system, you know, Encarnacion is 35. What is he signed through? He is signed, I think he's just signed this year. Yeah, so I mean, 380 career home runs. Could he play long enough to get to be a 500 home run guy? And then you have to start looking at him as a Hall of Famer? I'm scared there. So, you know, I guess we'll see. But yeah, those, you know, they'll just, those guys are still kind of not the main, how long they'll be there, or if they'll get anything for them, or who knows. So, are you back? Can I finish my list?
Yes. Oh, by the way, Encarnacion was the name of Jack Black's love interest in Nacho Libre.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. So, we move along here now. You know, this guy, I think this guy's been intriguing for about the last, it seems, 5 years. But they have Victor Robles on the list, who, believe it or not, is now 21. And for whatever reason, still hasn't played regularly for the Nationals. Obviously, if Bryce Harper was to go away, that would open up a spot for him. Do they finally find a spot for this guy who's supposed to be a 5-tool player with zero holes in his game, Dan? I mean, what are they waiting for?
He's got the extra long arbitration clock. I don't know what the hell they're waiting for. They need to just bring him up already.
Yeah,
so
I don't
know
why he wasn't open to use people.
Well, and that's one of the things. You had a guy intriguing, so to speak, but I think it's there. I don't know what he's been intriguing, so.
All right, well, we got one more guy, Dan, and I didn't think of him when we first started this. This just didn't pop into my head, but now that I see them, I definitely think we should have thought of him right away. The final guy. Oh, who's Mr. Intriguing, Dan? Tim Tebow is intriguing here. Obviously, he's going to start Double A. Are we going to see him get a major league back this year?
His arbitration, they want to keep it back.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, does he make the jump come May, or not May, but in September? Or would that not be fair to, you know, the Nationals?
So yeah, I don't know. You know, they'll you know, either way it works out, I'm sure they'll be crying about something. But you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, I actually do find him, you know, kind of intriguing as a player. So. You know, it will be interesting to see how he does and if he finds his way into AAA and all that other, you know, kind of fun stuff that goes on with Tebow. You know, he was another guy, I believe, that the Alliance asked him to play some quarterback, and he said no. So
I mean, at his age, you know, why go through all that again?
Yeah.
Especially if he's got the thing going on with baseball.
Yeah, you know, obviously I think he made the
baseball.
Right choice. So, you know, just one of those, one of those things. I guess, you know, you can't really be too surprised by the fact that they were, you know, somebody asked him because, again, it's a way to get some nice media attention, but.
Well, you know, and that's one of those things I've been wondering about too is, you know, we mentioned that in the first week they just, you know, blew all their money. They need to, you know, go begging for an investor. You know, there's that old saying, go big or go home, but do you think that they tried to go too big too fast?
You know, oddly, I didn't really think they tried to go that big at all. So I was really surprised that they had, you know, the issues like this, because it was just kind of like, okay, I mean, obviously they're not playing their players, so paying their players much. So.
No, but, you know, a lot of money would come from, you know, a lot of revenue would come for the league from, you know, commercials, sponsors and whatnot. And I'm sure they've got the sponsors lined up, but you can't tell me, even though the first week, you know, they did good, well, it's expected, you know, everyone's kind of, oh, well, I got to see what's going on. And I tried watching it, but, you know, it's one thing for me to watch the NFL, which I, you know, barely know most of the guys to begin with, and then to tune into a league that I know nobody on, you know, I mean, it just seems a little too far out there that they should, you know, really be running up network television and having teams so spread out across the country. You know, you brought up last year about, was it like a Pacific Coast League that were supposed to be like six teams or so running out of Southern California. You know, there wasn't much TV talk, and are they going to be successful? Who the hell knows? But, you know, arena football doesn't do things like this. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like they went too big. And I think that was one of the reasons the XFL, you know, faltered when they first started, but they went too big too soon. They didn't try to grow a product.
So, yeah, you know, that is, you know, definitely possible. You know, it may have their, you know, their downfall. So, you know, well, I guess we'll see if they, you know, they can hang on or bounce back or what, you know, what kind of happens to them, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that even makes me wonder, you know, again, Vince McMahon, you know, made the company and did whatever he did to try to bring, you know, the XFL back or whatever, you know, he's bringing back or, you know, whatever his football league's going to be. But, you know, after seeing this kind of go the way it is, I really don't have much faith that that's going to succeed all that well.
Yeah, you know, apparently, you know, they were saying the ratings were still pretty good for week two. So I don't know. I didn't see any of the, you know, the Saturday games. So.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, let's jump in here now. Now, it is Thursday, and you know what we do on Thursdays as we exit the week. But before I forget, Dan, I wanted to say a big happy birthday today to Schomburg Stu. You know, Stu will visit us tomorrow, of course, if he fills in on Fridays while Dan extends his weekend. But, yeah, it is Stu's birthday today, so, you know, you want to reach out to Stu. You can, you know, wait till tomorrow and call him here or, you know, find him some other way. But yes, I wanted to wish him a happy birthday. So there we go. And now we move along to see if Dan actually found a sports movie this week. So what did we get?
You know, I was going through Netflix. I've got this baseball movie that I want to watch, but I just haven't had time to put it in because I really want to watch this one. But, you know, I decided to go with earlier this week. You know, I watched over a couple of days at work on my lunch so I could, you know, kind of get into it. Notorious. So if you have Netflix, and yes, this is a sports movie, technically, documentary, and it has nothing to do with the Notorious B.I.G. Big Jack, maybe this is one you might want to check out. You could wear your T-shirt while you watch it. Notorious, the kind of, I guess you could say, the rise of Conor McGregor. The thing I found interesting about it, though, is it opens up, you know, at the point in his life when he basically quits his day job, whatever the hell that was. They didn't really get into it. You know, kind of unnecessary information. You didn't really need to know what the hell he did. It must not have been that cool. You know, if he was a butcher or something like that, I think, you know, you'd have to add that in there. But, you know, he quit his day job. He was a skinny little kid living with his mom and, you know, like it looked like an attic apartment. And his girlfriend was living there with him too. And, you know, he was full-fledged, knee-deep, and trying to become a UFC star. And I thought it was, you know, if you didn't like him, you definitely will respect the hell out of him after watching this. And if you don't, then I don't know what to call you. But, you know, it goes from that and it takes you over real quickly over a 4-year period. This is the part I didn't really like was they, you know, they show him leading up to his first UFC fight he wins. It's pretty, you know, it's young UFC stuff. He wins and then, you know, the next thing you know, he's living in a mansion in Vegas with some really fancy sports car. So, you know, I mean, you know, maybe I got up and, you know, looked at my phone for a minute and missed something in between. But they kind of went a little fast into that where I think it could give the wrong impression to some young up-and-coming MMA fighters like, hey, you know, you can do it that quickly. I don't think it works that quickly, but it was crazy to see his training schedule was pretty much, I think at least 5 days a week, but just to see what he was going through to be conditioned and everything. And then to know that the one fight he had, he actually had no ACL. Did you know that, Big Jack?
No.
No. It took you longer to answer that one. I don't know if you were thinking about it. But,
I would,
you know, something snapped and, you know, while he was training, something snapped, and I guess the MRI came back that he didn't have an ACL anymore, and he still went through the fight and was conditioning and did it all and won his fight. And then, you know, kind of the climax to it all is his fights with Nate Diaz. Well, you know, right before Diaz was this guy, Josie or something, that was, you know, undefeated for 10 years, and their fight goes on, and Conor McGregor throws him one punch and just knocks dude down and, you know, ends his reign, I guess you could say. So I thought that was pretty cool. Kind of gives you a little bit of validity to Conor McGregor and then the Nate Diaz fight. You know, he kind of gets his ass kicked in the first one and then they have an all-out brawl and, you know, he wins by decision very close. So, you know, it was pretty cool to watch. I think it was only about an hour and a half long. And then it just kind of ends with them slightly talking about the stuff. You know, they didn't really get into the, you know, the boxing fight with Mayweather, which I think if he could have made it longer and went into that, I still think that was a huge accomplishment for McGregor. And me personally, after watching that fight, any kind of views I had on him definitely switched to the positive. Even though he lost it, I thought he's phenomenal for a guy who was training for an MMA, you know, fighter for years, gave up boxing and went in there and went 12 rounds with Mayweather and still looked good. One of the things that kind of impressed me.
He had 9 rounds with Mayweather before he knocked him out. I think he went 9 rounds with Mayweather before he knocked him out.
Oh, he did? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so I forgot. But, you know, it was one of those things that he looked like he was dying in couple of the matches that he was in, and, you know, he just kept going. So I think the intestinal fortitude that this young man had is just amazing. So, I don't know. I didn't think it was a good watch. You know, it didn't take up a whole lot of your time, and you got to, you know, just kind of get into it. It's fun to watch. If you weren't a Conor McGregor fan, I don't think it would completely flip you. But then it just reestablishes the fact that guys like CM Punk, you just don't walk into it because you spent 20 years wrestling and think you're going to become an MMA fighter, a successful one at that.
Yeah, you know, it will be interesting to kind of see, you know, where he goes from here now. I mean, it's definitely I guess you can call it a rags to riches story, right? I mean,
oh yeah, big time.
The way it was. So, but yeah, I don't know if, you know, I'm trying to remember, when was the last time he fought? It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, I have no clue. One of the other kind of interesting things, however you want to say it, was the girlfriend that he had, as far as I know, in Ireland. You know, she's at the point of this movie, she was still with him. You know, she was still there for him and the whole nine. So, you know, he didn't go all, you know, big time and drop her and, you know, lag on to some former porn star or something like that. He did have some scenes with Arnold in there too. So, you know, and he invited Arnold to the fight, and, you know, as Arnold was leaving, he's like, he looked at him, he goes, yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I did a horrible Arnold. But he goes, you know, I'll be back. And that, you know, that just set everybody off. But, you know, one of the cool things I think about that, though, is with all the UFC promoting, you know, Conor McGregor fights and the way he has to, that persona that goes out there, there's a lot of laughing from Conor McGregor. So you kind of see a little bit of another side to him. Well, that was kind of cool. And Arnold, you know.
Yes, because we love Arnold.
You know, you've made it if you got Arnold coming to talk to you and telling you, I'll be back. So.
So, yeah, I think, they said here his girlfriend's name is Dee Devlin. I don't know. I don't know if they're married yet. They may be married now, but I knew they had kids, or at least a kid. So, you know, it was nice to see them, you know, him actually be that guy. Because, yeah, we're used to, you know, you don't ever hear that about the athletes. You know, you only hear about the ones who, you know, take off with, you know, like you said, the retired porn star or the nanny or whoever. So, you know, to hear somebody stayed together, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, they have the runtime here is an hour and 30 minutes. So like you said, it's not a not a super long movie. So
no, and you know, and I like this one because it was one of those, like you said, rags to riches, and you know, we didn't have to see the bitter end, you know, of an old guy dying in the training room, you know, trying to recapture, you know, his youth. So
yeah, at least not yet.
Hope he doesn't get
hopefully we'll end up there with him. Because, you know, you know, there have been some odd things as of late with him, you know, with the bus incident and some of the other stuff that went on. So hopefully, you know, he ends up okay and just goes back to fighting and stop trying to be anything else. So
I don't know. It's just so hard. You know, even with that bus incident, it's hard to believe that it wasn't part of a plan.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm radio.com.